Welcome everyone to NICU Basics. This is Dr. Chacko, and today we're going to talk about the ventilator. So the ventilator can seem quite complicated, but what I'm going to attempt to do is try to simplify things to make it easier from a conceptual standpoint so that it makes sense as to why we make the changes that we do. As a disclosure, this information is from my experiences at my current institution and how we manage ventilators, and it may differ slightly depending on your institution, but the basics will still remain the same. So just to get started, let's talk about SIMV. SIMV stands for Synchronized Intermittent Mandatory Ventilation, and the nice aspect of this mode of ventilation is that, as the name states, it synchronizes the ventilator breaths with the patient. The way this works is that the ventilator has a microprocessor that senses when the patient takes a breath and attempts to give the ventilator breath to match the patient's breathing cycle. For example, if the patient is starting to take an inhalation, the ventilator will give a breath with the inhalation, as opposed to a non-synchronized mode of ventilation where patient could be trying to breathe out while the ventilator is trying to give a breath, and as you can imagine, that would be very uncomfortable. Within the mode of SIMV, there are two main types of ventilation that we're going to talk about. There's volume control and there's pressure control. In volume control, you set a volume, and in pressure control, you set the desired pressure. For volume, we usually put our infants on a mode called PRVC, or pressure regulated volume control. For pressure, we'll do a mode called pressure control pressure support, and we'll get into the details and the settings for both volume and pressure control modes. To begin, in volume control, you set a tidal volume, and in pressure control, you set a pressure, or the PIP, which stands for peak inspiratory pressure. In volume control, when you set a tidal volume, to try and figure out where to start, physiologic lung volume for a neonate is about 4 to 6 mLs per kilo. So say you have a 2 kilo baby, just aim in the middle at 5 mLs per kilo, and you're going to give a tidal volume of 10. And then from there, you adjust based on blood gases, but that 4 to 6 mLs per kilo is something to keep in mind when in volume control mode. Of note, some ventilators may not be well designed for this volume control mode. For example, there are ventilators where the flow sensor is far away from the patient, so that it isn't really measuring what the patient's actually receiving due to all the dead space in the tubing. For volume control to work best, you ideally want the flow sensor to be as close to the patient as possible to best measure what they're actually receiving. In order to overcome this obstacle at my current institution, infants are started on pressure mode and we see what tidal volumes they generate, and then they're switched to PRVC mode with those same volumes. This is specifically done prior to the administration of surfactant, since surfactant will drastically improve lung compliance. You can think of premature lungs like stiff balloons that require a lot of pressure to inflate. Once they receive what they're missing, that being surfactant, they become more compliant, meaning they're now easier to inflate, so to get that balloon to the same size as before, it requires less pressure thanks to good old surfactant. So by putting them in volume mode, the pressures required to inflate their lungs will decrease after surfactant, so this mode allows the volume to stay the same and allows the pressures to automatically be weaned, decreasing the barotrauma associated with high pressures and the risk of a pneumothorax. Depending on the ventilators used at your institution, sometimes it's not obvious what the PIP is, and instead, you'll see something else called PC, or pressure control, and on the ventilator, it'll say something like pressure control over PEEP. In order to figure out the PIP from this information, you have to add the PC, or the pressure control, to the PEEP in order to get the PIP. For example, if the pressure control is set at 20, and the PEEP is set at 5, the PIP is 25, the sum of the two. The pressure control is quite literally your delta P, which is the difference between the PIP and the PEEP, and that's ultimately what controls ventilation or CO2 management. The rest of the settings I'm going to talk about are pretty much similar for both modes of ventilation, so we'll go through those as well. So the next one that's really important is called PEEP, and this stands for positive end expiratory pressure. Another setting is called the rate, This is how many breaths per minute the ventilator is going to give the baby. FiO2, or fraction of inspired oxygen, is another setting we adjust, and this is titrated to maintain what goal saturations we want for the infant. Then we get into some of the more fine-tuning buttons that we can control, such as the eye time or inspiratory time, as well as pressure support. And we'll talk about all these settings together. Going back to volume control and pressure control, both of these modes of ventilation have very similar settings aside from the tidal volume and the PIP, which are really the only settings that really differ between the two. How tidal volume and PIP are related is through the equation for lung compliance. The equation for compliance, and I remember this via the acronym CVP, like central venous pressure, because the equation is compliance equals delta V over delta P. In this equation, delta V is your tidal volume and delta P is your PIP. And this is just for ease of explanation. So if you reorganize that equation, you move pressure to the other side with compliance, so you get pressure times compliance equals volume. And so that's how tidal volume and PIP are directly related. When we're managing ventilators, there's really two main things we're controlling: ventilation and oxygenation. Ventilation is CO2 or carbon dioxide management, and oxygenation is oxygen management. There are really two things that we control that mainly affect ventilation. So depending on what mode you're in, it's your PIP or tidal volume, again, like we talked about, they're directly related, and your rate. And the reason that these settings contribute to CO2 management is all through minute ventilation. So the equation for minute ventilation is minute ventilation equals tidal volumes times the rate. So if you increase your tidal volume, you increase your minute ventilation, and the same goes for the rate, and it goes in the opposite direction as well. And like we talked about, the PIP is directly related to tidal volume, so that's how it's related to that equation. So the PIP or tidal volume affect your CO2 management as well as your rate. So those are the two settings we focus on when we're managing ventilation. Oxygenation, on the other hand, is managed by FiO2, which is simple because you just titrate up or down based on what saturations you want, and then PEEP, or positive end expiratory pressure. PEEP also helps with lung expansion, so when you get an x-ray and you see that maybe the ribs aren't expanded to where we'd like them to be, and ideally your 8 to 9 ribs expanded on an x-ray, then you can actually go up on the PEEP, and that'll help increase your lung expansion. Oxygenation in general is controlled by something called MAP, or mean airway pressure, and that's what really contributes to your oxygenation. That's what PEEP and FiO2 contribute to. And so I know that this is a podcast, but I'm going to try and put a picture in your head to better understand how this all goes together, especially for my visual learners. So if you can imagine a graph with time on the x-axis and pressure on the y-axis, and then imagine peaks and valleys, this is to simplify what one of the waveforms in the ventilator looks like. This is your pressure time waveform, and so you have valleys, or the lower pressures, which is your PEEP, and then it'll jump up to a higher pressure, or PIP, and then come back down to the set PEEP, and continue doing this based on whatever rate you set. So say you set the rate at 30, the baby will get 30 breaths per minute from the ventilator because that's what we've set. The eye time, or the inspiratory time, which we'll talk about now, is how long they get that PIP. On a conventional ventilator, which is what we're talking about, the pressure is what causes barotrauma to the lungs, so we try to decrease how much exposure they have to that pressure, and so that's where eye time comes into play and is very important. Eye time is usually about 0.3 to 0.4 seconds, so it's a very short period of time, and it's because we're limiting the exposure to the high pressure, which is the PIP, which is what causes the trauma to the lungs. So we talked about the PIP, the PEEP, the rate, the eye time. And if you can imagine, you've got this waveform with peaks and valleys that we just talked about. The entire area under this curve, all of that is the MAP, or the mean airway pressure. This is what truly contributes to your oxygenation. So if you increase your PEEP, you get a lot of bang for your buck because you've increased that area under the curve by quite a bit. Even if you increase your PIP, which we talked about before, which contributes to ventilation, it actually increases the area under the curve just a little bit. So I've had instances where I'll get a gas and I'll wean the PIP by maybe one or two, and then a few minutes later, the nurse will call and say the baby's starting to desaturate. And that's why that happens. Because you decrease the mean airway pressure by just a little bit, and in our more sensitive babies, especially our infants with BPD or chronic lung disease, sometimes they won't tolerate it and they're telling you that they still need that little bit of mean airway pressure to maintain their oxygenation. Also, the eye time, or the inspiratory time, which again is the length of time for PIP, pushing it closer to 0.4 seconds will increase your mean airway pressure by increasing that area under the curve we talked about and help with oxygenation. But this comes with a caveat. You cannot have a long eye time if your rate is high, meaning close to 40 or more, because it won't allow for enough time for exhalation, leading to breath stacking and CO2 retention, so just keep that in mind when playing around with the setting. So I hope all that makes sense, and again, this is something that you have to be exposed to on a regular basis, and continue to think about every time you get gases, ask a lot of questions about why we're making the changes based on the blood gas, or why are we making these changes based on the x-ray. And again, it's all baby dependent too, because your limits on your gas in terms of what numbers you're looking for are different from baby to baby, especially if they've got BPD or chronic lung disease. Then your limits change a little bit as well. And so I hope all that makes sense so far. Now what I'm going to focus on is our pressure mode of ventilation, pressure control, pressure support. And so in general, when we use verbiage to say what our settings are, we'll usually say something like 18 over 6, rate of 30, plus 7, at 25%. So what that means is our PIP over PEEP, then our rate. When I say plus 7, that's our pressure support, and then the FiO2 is 25%. So does that make sense? I'll say that one more time. PIP over PEEP, then your rate, your pressure support, and then your FiO2. And I want to give you some numbers so you can put them together into context so you know what are high settings, what are low settings, and what's somewhere in between. A high PIP is usually anything close to 30. PEEP is usually 5 to 6 and going higher is getting into high PEEP pressures. And their rate is high once you get up to 40 or 45, definitely 50, that's getting into high settings. So for example, if you're at 32 over 7 with a rate of 50, those are very high settings in a conventional ventilator. And that pressure at that rate can cause a lot of trauma to the lungs, so you really want to decrease that whenever you can. In terms of once you're weaning, low settings are closer to 15 over 5 with a rate of 20, plus 5 at 21%. Those are settings where I'm ready to extubate this child as long as the x-ray looks okay and the baby's otherwise doing well, breathing over the ventilator. So those are low settings, and that's when you're starting to think about extubation. Average settings are what I consider default settings, especially in the delivery room, are close to 20 over 5 with a rate of 40, plus 5, at the needed FiO2 to achieve proper saturation goals. I keep mentioning this plus 5 or plus 7 pressure support, so let's talk about what that means. Pressure support is something that only comes into play if the baby is breathing over the ventilator. And so when I call a nurse or check in on a baby, I'll ask, is the baby breathing over or are we riding the ventilator? And what that means is that if I set the rate on the ventilator at 30, if the baby is riding the ventilator, their respiratory rate is 30. Maybe they're sedated, or they've gone through some procedure and they're just pooped out, so they might just be riding the ventilator at that 30 breaths per minute that we set. So now they're starting to wake up, or they're post-op, the anesthesia is starting to wear off, and now they're breathing 50 or 40, so let's say 40 to make things simple. I set the ventilator rate at 30, and they're breathing 40, and this is where pressure support comes in. So pressure support only plays a role if the baby's breathing over what you've set on the ventilator. The reason pressure support is important is because there is resistance from the ET tube. In terms of the tube's length and radius, they both contribute to that resistance. There's an equation, which is a resistance to flow equation, where resistance equals 8 times viscosity times length over pi times the radius to the fourth. So the length is in the numerator, and the r to the fourth, the radius to the fourth, is in the denominator. And so the length contributes directly to the resistance, and the radius, the smaller it is, the more it contributes to the resistance, since it's to the fourth power and in the denominator. So both these factors come to play when an ET tube is in place. And because the ET tube has resistance, you give a little bit of pressure support, which is a little bit of help, so that the baby can breathe because you're effectively breathing through a straw. And if you can imagine how difficult that would be for us, just imagine how difficult it could be for a baby. So that's why we put pressure support to give them a little bit of help for those breaths that they're breathing over the ventilator. Very briefly, ET tube sizes are usually based on an infant's weight, and I usually remember 1, 2, 3, because if an infant is between 1 to 2 kilos, they get a 3-0 uncuffed ET tube. If less than 1 kilo, a 2.5 ET tube is used, and if greater than 2 kilos, a 3.5 is used. To say that again, 1, 2, 3, because if an infant is between 1 to 2 kilos, they get a 3-0 tube. If less than 1 kilo, 2.5, and if greater than 2 kilos, 3.5. So back to our example again. If a baby is on the ventilator and it's set at a rate of 30 and they're breathing 40, they're getting 30 breath per minute directly from the ventilator, so that's the pip over peep that we set for them at a rate of 30. So say our settings are currently 20 over 5 with a rate of 30. So 30 breaths per minute, that child is getting 20 over 5, but if they're breathing 40, they're breathing 10 additional breaths over that rate of 30 that we set, and so for those 10 additional breaths, they'll get pressure support breaths. The pressure support is usually pressure support over PEEP, meaning if I set the pressure support at 5 and my PEEP is 5, they'll get a pressure of 10 over 5 for those breaths. And I'll say that again because it gets a little confusing. So my PIP is 20 and my PEEP is 5, so 20 over 5, with a rate of 30 and a pressure support of 5. If they're breathing over 30, so they're breathing 40, that's 10 additional breaths that the baby's taking on their own, and those will be pressure support breaths at 10 over 5 because it's pressure support plus PEEP, which is 5 plus 5 in this scenario, which is 10, over a PEEP of 5. It's almost like a PIP over PEEP that they're getting because we're just giving them a little bit of support as opposed to the higher pressures from their mandatory ventilator breaths to overcome the resistance from the tube. I hope that made sense and helped demystify some of the aspects of the ventilator. It's definitely not an easy topic, but as they say, practice makes perfect. Thanks for joining me today on this episode of NICU Basics. This is Dr. Chaco, and I hope to see you again on our next episode, where we'll discuss blood gases. Until next time.